The school bell is ringing, and you know what it means when you hear that old school bell. That means it's time to come to class. And you're coming to class in the Warren County Radio Bible School to take full advantage of this hour of study, or actually this, well, it's a quarter hour, 15 minutes of study. You should get your Bible and turn it to Matthew chapter 9, where we're studying about Matthew the publican as one of the great men of the New Testament. Our guide for this study is E.A. Elam, who comes to us in this Bible school by way of a little Sunday school booklet that I have called Elam's Notes. It's a collection of the notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sundays of 1923. And this is a study for the Sunday of July 29th, 1923. So take your Bibles, mark in your Bible Matthew chapter 9, and turn over to Luke chapter 14. In just a moment, I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 14, 27 through 33. And I'll explain why I've jumped over there in this reading when we get to that point. But before I do, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. The reason we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 14, 23, and verse 27 is to show the importance of following Jesus, and not just following him in a lax manner, but being willing to forsake all and followed him. You see, when Jesus called Matthew, Luke tells us that Matthew forsook all and rose up and followed him. See how this ties together. When we read from Luke chapter 14, 27 through 33, "Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he hath wherewith to complete it? Lest haply, when he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goeth to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him, or 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and asks conditions of peace. So, therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, Matthew, the publican, left all to follow Jesus. He had quite a profitable enterprise as being a tax collector, a publican, and he gave that life of luxury up that he might be a disciple of Christ. Like Andrew, Peter, James, and John, Matthew evidently had heard Jesus before and was already his disciple, but now he was called to become a constant attendant, and to that preparation which was necessary to fit him for the apostleship. Now we must know, when we read the Bible, that all of the facts in the Bible are not always given to us in chronological order. And so I'm going to read to you now Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, and we'll dwell on that thought for a minute. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and the disciples." The call of Matthew and the feast which he gave to Jesus did not occur at the same time. None of the writers give what Christ did and said in their chronological order always. They gather up incidences, sometimes from several parts of Christ's ministry, and group them together to explain some action of Jesus and to show his authority and his power. For example, Matthew 8 and 9 are filled with the wonderful works of Jesus. And it was not intended by the writer to give these in the order in which they occurred, but to group them together so as to produce a clear, strong, and deep conviction that Jesus is the Son of God and has authority to teach. God bore testimony to them by miracles. The miracles themselves were manifestations of mercy to suffering humanity, but their chief purpose was to convince people of the truth of the claims of Jesus. We read in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs which thou doest, except God be with him. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 36, John wrote, The witness which I have is greater than that of John. Now this is Jesus speaking, and this John is the John the Baptist he's speaking of. The witness which I, Jesus, have is greater than that of John, the one we call the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. In John 14 and verse 11, Jesus said, Believe me, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. In John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, John wrote, Many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. And then later we read, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest happily we drift away from them. For the word spoken through angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, here it is, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Does your faith ever waver? Does your faith ever grow weak? I'll tell you what you can do about that. You get the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you start reading in there about the miracles Jesus did. In hopeless situations, he brought hope. In the darkness, he brought light, and he brought joy and comfort to the suffering by the miracles that he did. And you read those accounts of those miracles, and the very nature of those accounts have within them the very ring of truth. And you would ask yourself, how could anyone not believe that Jesus is the Son of God when they read about these wondrous works that he did? Now we read that Matthew gave a feast. And let's talk a little bit about that feast. So in this verse, now, to remind you, that's Matthew 9 and verse 10, where it says, It came to pass, as he said, at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. In this verse, the call of Matthew was one time, and the feast, sometime later. It was a great feast, prepared by Matthew in his own house, for Jesus and his disciples, to which many publicans and others had been invited. According to Luke chapter 5 and verse 29, he wanted his fellow publicans and other friends who were sinners to meet Jesus, that they might come under his influence and be saved. And Jesus and his disciples attended the feast, and they attended the marriage feast in Cana. It is not wrong for Christians to attend feasts prepared by unbelievers if, as Jesus did, they seek the good of all and the glory of God. Jesus sat at meat, or was sitting at meat, as Mark puts it, means that they reclined after the usual custom at the table. And then there's the criticism of the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11 we read, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your teacher with the publicans and the sinners?" We have learned who the scribes and Pharisees were. They were not guests at this feast, but they saw Jesus and his disciples there, or they knew they were there. They were on the watch. In their sight, it was wrong for religious teachers to mix with publicans and sinners, and hence it was a great shock to their senses of propriety for Jesus to eat with such. By them, these publicans and sinners were classed with heathens, and even the other apostles thought Peter did wrong to eat with a Gentile in Acts chapter 11 and verse 3. They criticized Jesus to his disciples because he ate with publicans and sinners, putting himself on social equality with them. This was a taunt to be thrown in the face of the disciples. Scribes and Pharisees were just as great as sinners, if not greater, but in another way. They rejected the commandment of God that they might keep their traditions. We read in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, "And he said unto them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Ye leave the commandment of God, and hold fast to the traditions of men. And he said unto them, Full well do you reject the commandment of God, that ye might keep your traditions." Well, they rejected Christ, while the publicans and harlots went into the kingdom of God before them. No greater sins have been committed than Jesus charges with those who are of that nature. We read Jesus' rebuke of those hypocrites in Matthew chapter 23, where it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, and all things whatsoever they bid, ye do and observe, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Yea, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one of them with their finger. But all of their works they do to be seen of men, that they might make broad the phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the chief places at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called of men, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even the Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." Matthew chapter 23:13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye shut the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye enter not in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to enter." Matthew chapter 23:15. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, And when he is become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. Matthew 23:16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the God of the temple, he is a debtor.